Welcome to another installment of the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series, sponsored by TheAuthorsEdge.com. And today we're talking to Dan Ginnall. Just tell you a little bit about Dan. First of all, USA Today called him, quote, a true internet marketing pioneer. Los Angeles Times called him an internet marketing expert, and he's been quoted in the New York Times, Investor's Business Daily, and has appeared on CNBC and National Public Radio. Now, the reason why we're talking to Dan in addition to all that today is because he's also the president and founder of a company called PR Leads. And what that is basically a publicity service that has helped more than 2,500 experts get publicity and build credibility in order to sell more books, products, services, basically whatever it is that they're looking to try and do. He also has an article marketing service that has helped more than 100 information marketers get more prospects and sales. He's one of the founding fathers, quite frankly, of internet marketing and publicity, and he was on the publicity team that brought AOL public, that's America Online, public more than 25 years ago. So he knows a thing or two about publicity and marketing online. In fact, one of his he wrote one of the first books about marketing on the internet back in 1995, and I think that at that point it was just he and Al Gore who were on the internet. Just kidding, of course. Now, Dan is also, he's an author himself. He's written 6 books for John Wiley and Sons. He's been translated into 6 languages and he's produced nearly 100 ebooks and other products. He's a professional speaker. He's spoken everywhere from Beijing to Budapest. He's consulted with Fortune 500 companies. And quite frankly, he's one of the most respected teachers, visionaries, and entrepreneurs in the publicity community. He's taught internet marketing classes at Berkeley and Stanford. He's a former reporter and business news editor. He's interviewed Gerald Ford, First Lady Barbara Bush. So he, you know, quite honestly understands this game from all angles, inside and out. And that's why we decided to include him, of course, on the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series. And so without taking up more time, let's get straight to the interview with Dan. And he and I are going to talk a little bit about how authors can attract some media attention, how to deal with the media a little bit, and get some exposure for yourself and your books. So let's get to the interview.
Okay, and I have Dan on the line. Dan, you can hear me okay?
Sure. How are you, Chris?
I'm very good, Dan. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on your show today.
Sure. I really appreciate it. Now, Dan, we were talking a few minutes ago, and one of the things I said that I didn't realize about you is that you actually used to be a newspaper reporter and a business editor.
Oh, yeah. I worked for Gannett for a number of years in Florida, West Virginia, New York State, right outside of New York City. So I know both sides of the fence as a reporter and as a PR person, and also as a writer. I've written 6 books for John Wiley, so I cover all the bases here.
Right, exactly. So you've been everywhere, so to speak. now with authors, I mean, one of the things I guess probably that they get a little bit intimidated when they're approaching reporters. Maybe they don't, you know, they don't have their pitch down. Maybe they've never done it before. So, kind of, you know, going back to your days as a reporter and an editor, why do authors have so much trouble pitching the media?
Great question. Basically, it comes down to needs versus wants. The book author wants them to write an article about the book, but newspapers are not in the business of writing articles about books. In fact, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of new books published every day. So having a new book come out is not news. What you have to do is tie in to the news that's going on that day or that you anticipate going on in the future and tie it to an event, and then you become an expert source for that story. For example, if we're in the middle of a political campaign right now, so if you've written a book about politics, you know, tie it into the campaign. If you've written a book about families and relationships and male-female dynamics, tie that into the vice presidential campaign. I mean, there are lots of angles here to go on here. If you've written a book about child development or Special Olympics or something like that, you know, there are lots of opportunities now that did not exist a couple of weeks ago. So look at your daily newspaper and find out what the stories are, find out what the news is, and tie your wagon to that headline.
Right, and I think, as you say, that's probably one of the bigger mistakes that authors make, is that they almost get like this tunnel vision, and they just, you know, they're so close to their book and they don't kind of see the other opportunities that relate to that. Would you say that's pretty fair to say?
That's 100% true. You know, I've written books, and I know what you mean about that tunnel vision. You start to see the whole world through the eyes of your book, and you think that everyone's interested in your book, and you know, maybe your mother is, and your spouse. But beyond that, the rest of the world keeps on going along, and you have to play their game at their level to get their attention. So, again, you do that by hooking your story to their headline. And it's real important for you to take a wider view of what you're doing as well, because I have a lot of clients who say, you know, if the lead isn't exactly right for me, if it almost doesn't have, like, my name written on it, then I'm not interested. And that's not the way publicity really works, or the goal of publicity for you is to get quoted into as many different publications on as many different related topics as possible. And that way, you'll have more links pointing into your site, so that will help you with your search engine traffic. And if someone goes to Google and types in, you know, Special Olympics or kids with disabilities, they find your article or your quote in an article in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or the Washington Post, and that gives you a lot more credibility. You know, so think outside the box here. So if you've written a story about family relationships that may or may not have included anything about special needs kids, but you do have that knowledge in your head, then call them up or give them the information, because that's what's hot and that's where you're going to get quoted.
Right, right. Now, I guess there's also, I don't know if you'd agree with this or not, but is there kind of a line that you have to walk where, you know, you may be able to kind of see the connection between a news story and your book, but if it's really kind of, you know, far afield from what they're talking about, maybe you don't want to bother the reporter on that day. Like, I'll just give you an example because maybe that didn't make sense. I was working with another author on this internet marketing stuff that I do, and she had emailed me frantically. She's a dog training expert. And this was right before Hurricane Gustav was coming down on New Orleans. And she said, you know, I want to pitch reporters and tell them how to keep their pets safe during hurricanes or during disasters. And I said, you know, good idea, but I think tread lightly was the thing that I told her, because you don't want to start pitching reporters, you know, again, a story that's not really related when they're really on deadline and working on a breaking story like that. Is that kind of fair to say?
I think your thesis is good. I think your example is flawed. How's that for insulting the host?
No, that's good.
Actually, that's a great angle. In fact, my wife donated money to relief efforts for Hurricane Gustav and Katrina, for both human beings and for the ASPCAs, when she heard that the animals were, you know, being separated by their families and such like that. And there actually were a couple of stories that now people could take their pets with them with Gustav, whereas before with Katrina they couldn't. So it's actually a good story for your client. So call her right back. You know, there might be some opportunities here. Okay, I call this the magic hammer theory of publicity, frankly, and I discovered this quite by accident because I had a client who'd written a book called Sugar Shock. Her name is Connie Bennett.
And, oh, sure, I actually know her.
Yeah, she's a great person. She's gotten a lot of publicity with our service, and here's how she did it, because, you know, no one is going to write a story saying, gee, can anyone tell me about the effects of sugar? By the way, for the folks on the call, Connie thinks that sugar is the worst thing in the world and is the source of just about every problem known to mankind. But no reporter is ever going to write a story saying, gee, is sugar good or sugar bad? I mean, if she waited for a lead like that or tried to pitch reporters like that, you know, she wouldn't get anything. So she has to use her intuition. So we get a lead that says, how can women lose 5 pounds without spending 5 minutes or $5 a day? And that actually is a real lead that we got through our PR lead service from a reporter at a top women's magazine. They always write about diet stuff. Okay, so I couldn't make this stuff up. So Connie reads that and would respond back by saying, stop drinking soda, because if you drink 2 cans of diet soda a day, you'll add 15 pounds over the course of a year. See? Hmm. It makes sense. Now, the reporter didn't say, does soda affect weight gain or loss, you know? But she read into it, and this is close enough to the solution that it made total sense. Now, someone else could say, walk around the block five times, or park your car at the far end of the lot, or take the stairs instead of the elevator, or do yoga, or whatever. And those are realistic answers, too. But reporters are going to go with answers that are more unique, and Connie would fit right in there. Now, if you're smart like Connie, you see the hidden angles in a reporter's pitch or in stories that are in today's headlines. So if we get a lead that says, what can pregnant women do to reduce lower back pain? Connie would write back and say, stop drinking soda, because soda has sugar and sugar can inflame the joints. Again, it totally links in to what the reporter's writing about, and they wouldn't think this was an off-topic pitch in any way, shape, or form. And if the reporter wants to quote her, that's fine. And chances are reporters will quote three or four people in an article, and Connie would get in there because she's saying, stop drinking soda, and someone else could say, do yoga, and someone else could say, you know, listen to your doctor's orders. And then the reporter has her story all written. So it's that's really how it works. You have to think creatively and intuitively to help the reporter. Now, on the other hand, you don't want to respond to a reporter by saying, I don't know anything about women's back pain, but if you're ever doing a story about weight loss, please contact me. You know,
right.
That's just that would be the example you might have wanted to give to me, because right. Reporters hate that kind of stuff. You know, they're on deadline. They have so many pressures on them. They really and their personality makeup is that they don't suffer fools lightly. So if you're pitching them with something that they're not interested in, they're going to be rude and curt, and then you're going to lose your enthusiasm to talk to another reporter because you've just been burnt. It's human nature.
Right. Yeah, and I mean the example of Connie is great because, you know, obviously probably nobody mentioned a thing about sugar with the back pain story, right? So I mean that's, and I know when I've gotten leads from your service for the stories when I used to write for Book Marketing Update, I've gotten a ton of them, and they're always right on target, and they're always, you know, I would sift through them. I would have more than I can handle basically most of the time. Mm-hmm. And I would sift through them, and, you know, 80% of the people would say the same thing, but then you're looking for that 20% where they're saying something a little bit different, where maybe you hadn't heard of it. And also it gives you, you know, a little bit of a feeling of accomplishment because you're like, hey, I'm kind of breaking a story here. I'm telling people something they really didn't know.
Exactly. And for everyone on listening today, you know, you have 250 or 350 pages of original research. That makes you an expert. And a lot of stuff in the book, well, some of the stuff in the book, you know, you might have covered the groundwork. You know, here are the ABCs of negotiating, or here are the 10 steps about selling that you need to know. And it's covered in many, many other books. But the reason you wrote your book is for, you know, the unique stuff. So assume that everyone else is giving the reporter the basics and the groundwork. What the reporter is really looking for is that extra special stuff, and that's what makes your book unique, and that's what's going to get you quoted in magazines and newspapers. Give them the good stuff.
Right. And now, I don't know if Connie did this with you, but I think she also did around, not to talk too much about her, but she also did, I think, something around Valentine's Day, you know, why you should never give chocolate to your girlfriend or something like that. And I think she did pretty well with that angle, too. So, again, it's coming up with something timely, unique. Everybody's writing about Valentine's Day, you know, what gifts to give. And she's saying, don't give the gift that everybody gives.
Exactly. And you know, you bring up another important pitching point for authors and reporters, and that is that there are certain stories that get written about every single year, and you can hitch your wagon to that story. You mentioned Valentine's Day, but there's also, let's start at the beginning of the year. There's New Year's Day, so you have New Year's resolutions, so all your weight loss people and all your diet, fitness, exercise people can tie into that. Your stress people can tie into it as well, because the stress of a new year, closing out the old year, whatever. Okay, then in February, there's Valentine's Day. There's St. Patrick's Day for thematic issues there on drunk driving and anything drinking related, also anything Irish related. then in April there's the tax story, and people, a lot of people put their taxes off to the last minute, and there's your stress and productivity kind of angle, as well as, you know, if you have a political book out there, then, you know, taxes tie into just about everything in politics. Then, of course, as we go through the year, there's June with people getting married, there's graduation day, there's back-to-school stories, there's summer vacation stories, there's the new cars coming out stories, and, of course, the ever-present NCAA basketball pools and competitions and the Super Bowl parties. I mean, reporters write about these things every single year. So if you have a book that can relate to those kinds of topics, you can just plan your calendar around them, because you know they're looking for something new, interesting, and different, because they've written the same stupid story about the Super Bowl parties for the last 20 years. They need a new angle now, and maybe you have it.
Right. Right. Now, Dan, actually, I had a question for you about sound bites, but before you do that, because I'm sure a lot of people are not really interested, they don't really understand how PR leads works. If you could tell them that, and then I have a follow-up question based on that.
Sure. Basically, every day we get upwards of 100 or 125 requests from reporters who are writing stories, and they don't know who to contact. So they contact us. So in other words, they could be writing a story about drunk driving, or and they need to find experts on that subject. They need to find a psychologist who can talk about drunk driving. They need to find a police officer and a judge to talk about drunk driving. They might need to find a real person who was arrested for drunk driving and how they feel now. And we get all of those leads, and we send them out to our clients. So we get leads on workplace issues, relationship issues, health and wellness, medical issues, personal finance, legal issues, all across the board. In fact, you can see lots of these topics, more than 300 topics, at prleads.com. And chances are we have something that's going to fit your needs. And then you'll see the reporter's name, the publication they work for, their deadline, and their contact information. So you respond back to them. And if they like what you have to say, they quote you, or they may contact you for additional information, and then you build a relationship with the reporter, and they contact you in the future for additional stories, and wouldn't that be nice? So we also train our clients on how to respond effectively to reporters, because there's definitely a certain way that reporters want to be contacted and a certain way they want to see the information. So we teach all of our clients how to do that, and we also review their first few responses to make sure that they're on target.
Oh, great. Okay. Yeah, you sent me, just to tell everybody, you sent me a, I guess it was an actual, you know, email or whatever it was, the whole list of stories that you had for that day, and it was quite lengthy.
Right. As I said before, we get over 100, 125 articles a day, from everything from the New York Times and Washington Post to business publications, women's magazines, parenting magazines, for everything from experts to first-person stories, so like cancer survivors or such like that. So whether you're an expert or you've written an experiential story, a book, chances are we can help you.
Yeah, and I was going to bring up that point too, that there were a number of queries there, just looking. I think it said non-expert or something is the kind of lead, and it's
yeah,
just looking for people.
Yeah, that's more the intelligent way of saying it.
Yeah,
I mean, they're experts. For example, we have a story about relationships. So we need to find a psychologist who can talk about relationships, but we also need to find a married couple who are experiencing this issue as well. You know, we're doing a story about Viagra, so we need to find a psychologist to talk about how this affects people's relationships. We also need to find a couple who are willing to talk about their experiences before and after Viagra. So that's what we call non-experts. We could also call them, you know, first-person account stories.
Right. And so now the reason why I had you tell everybody how this works is basically because when, you know, these things come into your email inbox, you're going to have to then, you know, craft not a pitch, but a response or a quote that's going to make them want to use it. So do you have any tips there for, you know, how to do that, how to really attract a reporter and make them kind of take notice to what you're sending?
Sure. And I think it's important to point out this sort of yin and yang or push and pull version of pitching that we're talking about. At the beginning of the interview, you talked about how do you pick up the phone and call a reporter and pitch them and make them interested in your book. And that's hard because, you know, reporters are basically working on their own agenda because they're writing a story about drunk driving or family relationships or whatever, and that's what they're focused on. And you're calling them up, and they don't care what you have to say about, teen pregnancy or whatever, because that's not what they're – you have to – that's not what they're writing about. So you have to interrupt them, get their attention, and get them to buy in. That's hard to do. So with the PR lead service, we take a completely different approach because reporters are contacting us and saying, we need to find experts in these topics. Can you help us? So the balance of power is now in your favor because you're not doing cold calling and you're not pitching. You're responding to an actual reporter who's actually writing a story right now and needs to find someone to quote. Someone just like you. So how do you get quoted? You give them information that they won't find anywhere else. We talked about this briefly before. They want unique information, but they want it all presented in a very interesting way. And this is actually a way that helps you because you don't have to write the article. You don't have to write a book. If you've ever looked at a newspaper, you'll realize one thing and one thing only, that articles are a mile wide and an inch deep. They don't go into a whole lot of detail. So if you're used to writing for the for JAMA or the Harvard Business Review or some other academic or scholarly publication in your field, forget it. They're not interested in all that kind of level of detail and research and methodology and such. What they basically want is a soundbite or a tip or news you can use, and I use those terms interchangeably. So basically they're looking for a sentence or two that answers the question, why do people drive when they're drunk? Okay. Give them a couple of reasons. How can people lose weight when they have no willpower? Give them a couple of reasons from based on your research. That's what they're looking for. And I challenge each of you who are listening to this call right now, pick up a copy of any newspaper or magazine that you want to be quoted in. Look at any article at random and look for the first set of quotation marks and then count how many sentences that expert is quoted on. And the chances are it's one or maybe two. And I don't care if you're George Bush or Condoleezza Rice, they only get quoted for one or two sentences before the reporter looks for someone who has a different point of view. So, in fact, I did this exercise one time a few months ago, and the Pope had just come through through New York City, so I picked up copies of the New York papers and counted how many sentences the Pope was quoted, and it was one. I mean, here's this article. Here's the Pope. I mean, I know you, everyone on the call, you've done great work. You've written a wonderful book. But, you know, the Pope only gets quoted for one sentence,
Right.
That should teach you something about what they're looking for. So
right.
The idea here really is to give people or give the reporters exactly what they're looking for, because if you give it to them in the format that they need it in, they'll literally copy the information from your message and paste it into the article because it saves them time. And that's what you want to do. Also, I like to tell my clients that the less they write, the more control they have over what appears in print. So if you give them seven tips on how to lose weight, and two of them are really great because that's what you're really known for, and the other five are sort of like, you know, standard stuff. Well, what if they take one of the standards things because they just want to cover their butts and, you know, say, well, we put this one in here because, you know, it sounds good. We need someone to say, you know, the standard stuff too. And we'll give the really unique stuff to someone else. Now you just sound like a run-of-the-mill, you know, personal trainer or dietitian or nutritionist or whatever, instead of being cutting edge. So again, the less you say, the more control you have over what appears in print. So I would go with 2 to 3 sentences for each tip, and I'd have 2 to 3 tips so you really can control the message.
Right, and I can attest to that copy and paste thing, by the way, because I've done that many times with responses that I've
got. Reporters are lazy. I just want to say they're economical with their time.
Yeah.
So if you make their lives easier, they'll reward you by quoting you.
Right. And now, Dan, we're kind of coming up to the end of the call, but I wanted to just ask a couple more questions. Is there a specific kind of follow-up method that you should use, say, after you've been quoted? I mean, should you continue to stay in touch with the reporter?
Yeah, let's break that down into two segments. You send a response back to a reporter, or you're pitching a reporter cold, and you don't hear back. Should you follow up? I would say no. If they wanted something, they would get back in touch with you. These people are swamped. They don't have the greatest social skills in the world. So if they're not interested, then no answer means they're not interested. On the other hand, if they do use your stuff, it's perfectly okay to call them and say, hey, when will the article appear? And then you can mark the date on your calendar, and on that date, go to their website and look for the article. You can follow up and say, hey, if you have any additional questions, feel free to call me. Or if you're doing another story in this area, feel free to contact me. Or, by the way, I know you interviewed me on the subject of negotiating, but I also have expertise in the areas of A, B, and C. So that way they start to think of you in different categories for other stories in the future. And believe me, when I was a reporter, we followed a very simple rule. Reporters follow the path of least resistance. So if we're on deadline and someone's in our Rolodex, that person is going to get called before we go out and use any other kind of service, or start, you know, going through the yellow pages and looking for psychologists or personal fitness trainers or lawyers or whatever. So if you've given them good information, chances are they're going to want to stay in touch with you, and they're going to want to know your latest research or your latest opinions on various things. So consider at that point you've broken the ice with them. And if you're a pest, they'll let you know. And if they want to maintain a relationship with you, they'll let you know that too, because, again, reporters need sources. And if you can get into their Rolodex, then you're golden for the future.
Right. Right. And now just a question related to that, because I'm just curious to know what you think about it. There's a lot of these authors now that on their websites, they set up like, you know, a media area, and they have kind of, you know, interviews and suggested articles or whatever. Does that stuff help, or is it better just to focus on kind of the personal touch?
I like both. I definitely think that you need a media room on your website so reporters can get in touch with you. And if they need your picture, you have your picture available for them in different formats. And believe it or not, you know, they do want your picture, and you wonder why. You know, you're modest and everything, but why do they want my picture? Why would they want the cover of my book to be a picture? Well, they need to break up the gray space in a newspaper. They need art. They really, really do need art. If they just printed words and headlines and no pictures, it would look gray, and that's just unappealing. So they really do have a need for your face shot and your book cover. So definitely have that on your website in different formats and resolutions, so you can work with a number of different media. I like to have stuff that says I've been quoted in 37 different publications, and here's my bibliography, and if you got links to those articles, that's great, because reporters want to go with someone who they can trust. And if you've been quoted a whole bunch of times, then they know that you're media savvy. You know how they know how they know that you know how the game is played, and they know that if they contact you, they're not going to be wasting their time with someone who's like a deer caught with the headlights. Because you mentioned at the top of the show that a lot of authors don't know how to position their books. And I can't tell you how many times I get phone calls with my PR lead service, and people call me up and they say, hi, my name is Joe Smith. And I say, great, what have you done? Well, I've written this book, and it'll be out in September, and it's published by Simon & Schuster. And it's like, they haven't told me the name of the book or what it's about, but they're telling me all this publishing stuff. It's like, I don't have time for this. Well, if I don't have time for this, imagine if a reporter doesn't have time for it. So you really have to get, you know, real focused on what your book is about, who it's going to help, and why it's different from all the other books out there. Then you'll stand out way, way far ahead of other authors who are trying to get publicity.
Right. Yeah, and the artwork thing is a great point. I keep going back to when I was a reporter, but yeah, I mean, you always look for that artwork, and it's such a plus if it's there. And it'll get used if it's there.
Yeah, the other thing I would have from a marketing point of view is on your website, if you've been quoted a whole bunch of times, put that on the front page of your website. Say that you're quoted in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal, or that you're quoted 37 times or whatever. You know, reporters may want to know about that, of course, but also your readers do. You know, someone who's looking to check you out either as an author or as a consultant that they may want to hire one day, you know, trumpet the fact that you're quoted in all these places, because that's what makes you stand out from all the other consultants and coaches and authors in your area, or if you're looking for speaking engagements. It's the same thing. On paper, we all look the same. We've all gone to college. We've all graduated. We've all worked with good companies. We've all written books and all. So on paper, we're completely interchangeable. What makes one person different from another? Well, the fact that Susie was quoted in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, and Mary wasn't. So, bingo, right. Susie gets the job.
Right, right. And now, Dan, just to wrap up, you talked a little bit about the way PR leads works, but if you want to, you know, just go ahead and explain to people again, because as we were talking about earlier, so many authors just are, you know, I hate to say this, but they're just terrible at pitching the media. And we're trying to help them get better here. But I know that but your service really, I mean, it, you know, takes kind of all the fear out of it, too, I think, for a lot of authors. And, you know, it's to me, it's a great service. Why don't you just tell people how they can learn a little bit more about it?
Sure. For a full detailed explanation, go to prleads.com. But in essence, the 10-second pitch here is we get leads from reporters who are definitely writing stories, and they need to contact experts just like you. So you tell us what field you're interested in, everything from personal finance to health and wellness to relationships to workplace issues, and then we send you the leads from the reporter. You'll see the reporter's name, the publication they work for, their deadline, their contact information, and a brief description of the article so you can see exactly what kind of information they're looking for. And then you contact the reporter through email. So, again, you're not playing voicemail or anything like that, voice tag. So you send a quick note back that says, "Hi, I'm the author of this book. I have X number of years of experience in this field. And here are two or three tips that can help you." And again, the tips are 2 to 3 sentences long, and then you have your contact information. So it shouldn't take you more than 10 minutes to respond to any reporter. So this is something you can fit into your day very, very easily. In fact, I know people who have their, you know, their afternoon coffee or their morning coffee, and they skim through the leads we send them, and they decide which ones to respond to, and then they just answer the questions because, frankly, they're the experts. They know the answers right off the top of your of their heads. You don't have to do any original research or anything creative like that. They're basically asking you questions that you should know the answer to. And if you do, then you send it off to them. And if they like it, they may contact you for additional information, but the chances are they'll literally take the information and copy it from your message and paste it into the article because they're usually on deadline. And that, then when you get quoted, and the benefit for you is now you have links to your site from credible publications like Cosmo and Marie Claire and Men's Fitness and Shape and the New York Times magazine and newspaper magazine section, whatever. And when people search on those topics on Google, they're going to see the New York Times article. They'll see your name mentioned in there and your book title mentioned in there. They'll say, "Hey, this sounds pretty interesting. I think I'll go check it out for more information." So that's right. How it all plays out.
Yeah, and it could take, what do you think, an hour and a half, 2 hours maybe to develop a pitch and put together a package and go mail it to a New York Times reporter, as you say, or something like that, and it could take you 10 minutes to just skim through that and send off an email, and it could have the same result, or actually better result, probably.
You probably have better results with PR leads, frankly, because here you know one thing, you know two things. First, the reporter is definitely writing a story about this topic, and second, they don't know who to contact. When you're pitching a reporter through, you know, the old-fashioned way, you know, you have no idea if this reporter is really interested in writing a story about this topic or not, and chances are they're not, because it's an interruption pattern kind of thing. It's like sales. You know, someone calls you on the phone because they think you're interested in a copy editor because you're an author and you might need to hire a copy editor, but, you know, your publisher is handling the copy editing for you, or your sister-in-law is doing your copy editing, so you just move on. You know, you only return their phone call. So it's what was done in the past. It's a numbers game. It might work in the long term, but you're going to spend a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of hours doing that as opposed to using PR leads where the balance of power is shifted in your favor because you know the reporter needs to contact someone like you because they're working on a story that you could help them with.
Right. That's a nice feeling to have when a reporter needs you instead of you needing the reporter. Makes it much, much easier.
That's the truth.
Great. So, Dana, you shared some really great stuff here. I really appreciate it. And, of course, as you said, the website is prleads.com. And I guess that's it. Thanks a lot, Dan.
My pleasure. Thank you, Chris.
Take care.
Once again, you've been listening to the Monsters of Book Marketing interview series sponsored by TheAuthorsEdge.com. Today's guest again was Dan Janal of PR Leads. You can find out more about Dan and about his service PR Leads at PRLeads.com. Thanks, and until next time, speak soon.